Amen. Amen. Let us appreciate Kathy as she sits. Kathy, we want to thank God for your service today. Second service leading us very well. The word you were looking for actually earlier is dress code. Yes, just not color code, dress code. Nothing complicated. But Kathy actually does a fantastic job with our teens ministry, and I can say that for a fact because I've had an opportunity to work with her there in the teens ministry. And so God is really using you. What you might not know is that Kathy and her husband, Lenny, are also involved in worship here in the service. She's involved in the media department. In fact, I'm just wondering, which department are you not in? Oh, children's. May the Lord hear that request and answer appropriately. But we thank God for you. I also want to thank God for Kigums leading us very well with the worship team. Did you last love that time of singing and worship? Let us appreciate the Lord for what that team is doing. Kigums is going to be hosting my family and I for lunch later on today, so I didn't want to pass without appreciating her. Who knows what she might do? She might add more pepper in my dish. So we're really glad about that. And Jambi also with the missions team. I think you guys are definitely doing a fantastic job, and we just want to thank God for the report you've given. What you have shared about KYCTC, reminding us that we have a responsibility to share the gospel with all people, including the least, the lost, and the last. And so thank you for that reminder. And by the way, guys, it doesn't even take a lot. It doesn't take a lot. If only we would be faithful to share our stories and the gospel and how God has transformed us. Personally, I came to faith in 2005, not so long ago. I've shared here on this stage that there's a time when I used to pass this road while I was at the university, and I never knew this. There was a church in here. All right, in those days, I was absolutely given to the world and the things of the world. Just amazing how Satan just blinds you, you know, when you are in the world. So I'd given myself into the things of the world, you know, just normal worldly things, just pursuing money, pursuing fame. I wanted to be famous, you know, pursuing sex and the things of just money, power, sex. You guys know these things. That's what I was pursuing. In fact, I remember in the university, we hooked up with a few of my friends and we decided we were going to become a rap group. We were rappers. All right. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with rapping. Just in case this is your profession and you're in the house, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying about us. We were absolutely lost. And some of the things that we used to sing about, I remember after I came to faith and I listened to that stuff, I was like, what on earth had happened to me? All right, I was absolutely lost. A life of partying and just wasting my life away. And then just because of sinful ways, and you guys know this, you know, sin is called the deceitful glamour of sin for a reason, because sin promises you heaven but gives you hell. The joy and the peace I thought that I would find out of my life, you know, I didn't find it. And I actually lost it all. And I remember becoming absolutely disillusioned and life stopped making sense for me. And one time I was walking, I met a friend of mine. His name is Gibo. Gibo was a guy in the faith. You know, one of those people in high school who are holy joes, who you diss and stuff like that. So I met this guy and I knew I have to share with him what I'm going through. And I told Gibo, hey man, my life doesn't make any sense at all. And what Gibo did, he didn't even need to complicate the thing for me. He just told me, Sam, what you need is Jesus Christ. You need Jesus. And we prayed together. I think he shared with me one verse and he kind of put me on course to Christian living and stuff like that. And God took it up from there. And 14 years later, I'm now standing before you preaching the gospel of Christ. It doesn't take a lot. Sometimes you just need to be faithful in pointing people to Jesus Christ and speak about the Lord whom you know and the Lord who has done things for you. Share your stories. You can just say things, stuff like, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Share your stories with people. Point them to Jesus Christ. It doesn't take a lot. Sometimes a little nudge is enough. And today's text is just a story like that. It's a story of a young girl who decided not to be silent, who dared to share her faith with her master. And it incredibly changed his life. It's a story that shows us the power of evangelism, if only we would dare to share. And so I'd like us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. That's where our story will be. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm hoping to answer these three questions. The first one is, who needs the gospel? And the second question, why don't we share the gospel? And these first two questions will be directed to Christians in the house. And then the last question is, what do you need to do to be saved? And this question is really for unbelievers, whom I believe are also here with us in the service. So are you there? 2 Kings chapter 5. All right, this is how it goes. Now, Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Aram. By the way, is it Naaman or Naaman? Okay, I used to say Naaman growing up until my kids started learning phonics. Okay? Nowadays, I can't even speak English in my house before being corrected all the time. So I think we will just use Naaman because my children, they were in the Sunday school earlier, but now they're not here. But if I interchange between Naaman and Naaman, okay, please just forgive me. I'm just trying to get into the program in the house. Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier. Now, what we have there is a CV of a great man. You know, this week, I think there is a CV that has been trending. All right. One CS Magoha, when he was lifted up to his position as CS for education, people started talking about his CV, you know, 91 pages. Some of us, we are just struggling to still fill the first page on our CV. All right, we're trying to gather information from Muko Primary School. You know, I was part of Bird Watching Club. Okay, just any miscellaneous certificate that you were given, just to try to get to page 2. By the way, I know someone who was in bird watching, who was a bird watcher. I didn't know such individuals exist. So this is like a condensed version of his CV. Okay, and this is some of the things that we learn from him, that he was first a commander of the army of the king of Aram. Okay, and I want you to know that Aram in those days, at this time, was a really powerful country. I dare say their army was probably stronger than that of Israel. Because when you read the story a little bit ahead, you see places where the Arameans will come and besiege Israel. Okay, so their army was really powerful. So Naaman is not just a commander of any ordinary army, he's the commander of the army of the king of Aram. So in those days, that meant something. And then number 2, he was a great man in the king's eyes. He was the kind of person who the king of Aram would say, now, this is the guy. All right, you probably would like the president of this country to say the same thing about you, right? When the president of this country acknowledges you, that comes with respect. I think that's what he did with the former CS of education. You remember him, Matiang'i? Okay, he's now a big shot guy. In fact, we call him head boy. Okay? Because recognized by the president, that comes with respect. It's not just a simple thing. And then number 3, it says that he was highly regarded. So he came with all the presidential commendations. This is no ordinary individual. And then number 4, through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. Now, I don't think the king thought this. Okay, maybe this is a commentary by the person who wrote this text, maybe an Israelite. But he acknowledged and recognized the sovereignty of God in the destiny of all nations. So he said, Naaman, this Aramean, his victory and his success, it comes from God. All right, so as an accomplished man, as a high achiever, can you imagine when the victory of a country is all attributed to you? What kind of individual must you be? And then the 5th thing, it says that he was a valiant soldier. Okay, so this is not just empty fame. This is not just fame for nothing. This is not just accolades just for the sake of, you know, these days we live in an era where people can become famous for just being famous. All right? Those people who we keep up with in reality shows, who are just famous for being famous. And you don't even know what contribution necessarily they're making in society. No, that was not Naaman. Oh, sorry, Naaman. He was a valiant soldier, a commander in a very strong army. He was worth his salt. And then this CV that reads like a beautiful symphony, you can hear some very nice music being played, comes to a screeching halt with these 4 words that finish verse 1 for us. It says, but he had leprosy. And it's almost as if those four words undo everything that we have heard about this great individual. Because in those days, you see, to have leprosy, that was like a death sentence. And people who were willing to give up everything, you will have given up everything just to be cured of this disease. It meant that your life was over. In fact, if you got leprosy, you became stigmatized, socially ostracized. So there goes your reputation and your contribution to society. It's over for you. You know, you are cast aside. And that was Naaman's probably fate now. You know, he will be doomed to die as an outcast. It was a possibility because of his leprosy. And it's such a strange disease, this leprosy, because it's no respecter of persons. This looks like a man who was making such significant contribution to his community, all right? And now it comes to this end. Leprosy, not a respecter of persons. And I want us to pause there for a moment and just reflect about our own lives, because I believe that there is a leprosy that afflicts us today that is quite as deadly, if not worse. And that is sin. Sin. Sin is like a leprosy that we all have to deal with. And I feel like the issue of sin is one that we take for granted or we take lightly, and yet it's something that we ought to just pause for a moment and think about. For you see, for Naaman, leprosy was something on the outside, something that someone could see, all right? If you contracted leprosy, it was easy for someone to know that you had an issue, all right? And you had to attend to it immediately. But the issue of sin, unlike leprosy, you see, leprosy was not tolerated in those days. Sin is tolerated today. And if you have sin, it's like an inward thing. And yet, we face the same danger as Naaman, but even worse. Because only what leprosy could do to you, it could just kill you physically. But sin, you're in danger of even spiritual death, eternal damnation, being completely alienated from God. Because this is what the scripture has said, that sinners will not be able to stand in the presence of God. You will be cast out. So sin is really a problem today. And I want to say, it doesn't matter how sophisticated you are. It doesn't matter what your achievements have been. It doesn't matter even what you have been able to accomplish with the Lord's help. If you do not attend to the issue of sin in your own life, then you will lose it all. I think it's the scripture that says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose their? Let's use their soul. And so we are all in danger of spiritual death, which is even worse than physical death. We are in danger of being completely cast away, being eternally damned because of the issue of sin. Sin is no respecter of person. It afflicts both the rich and the poor, the weak and the strong, the wise and the foolish. The scripture says that no one is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says the wages of sin is death. We have sin hanging over our heads like some kind of leprosy, but even of a worse kind. And so Naaman had to do something about his situation. And so that brings me to answer the first question, which is, who needs the gospel? And here's my answer. Everyone needs the gospel. And so we move on to the second verse. Now, verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 5, for you guys who like series, this is like previously in Kings. Okay, this is a flashback. It says, now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master will see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So there's a little bit, we are introduced now to the second individual. So the first one was Naaman, and we're given his CV. A complete successful individual. He has a lot going for him. He's a man of reputation. And then we are introduced now to this second individual. And this is a person of no reputation. In fact, so insignificant is she that she is not named. You remember how the verse 1 started? Now it started with Naaman, we're given his name. This lady is not even mentioned. We don't even know who her name is. The only thing we know, or this is now probably her CV, we can put it together, is that she's an Israelite. She is young. She was taken captive. And now she serves as a domestic servant in Naaman's house. All right? If you are reading about these two individuals, I'm probably sure you might want to identify yourself with Naaman more, right? You want Naaman's accolade to come to you. You don't want to be in the position or the situation that this young lady was in. And yet he says the irony of the story, even though Naaman was a person of reputation, the stronger one, so to speak, and this lady was a person who is insignificant, when there is an issue or a problem, the tension that has been created by this story is this, that this young lady is the one that has the answer to the problem. You see the irony? This is that part in the sermon where you turn to your neighbor and tell them, God can use anyone. God can use anyone. If this nobody, this miscellaneous, this anonymous young girl was going to be used by God to point this great individual to the way of faith, how much more can God use you and I? For when she speaks there in verse 3, you can't stop but wonder, what's up with this young girl? Why is she trying to help these people? I mean, for crying out loud, she was taken captive. All right, these are like her enemies. I was thinking about myself. I tried to put myself in her position. Would I have helped Naaman? I'm thinking about myself. I will be there vindicated. You know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Yeah, you guys kidnapped me. The Lord says, I shall repay. You will think twice next time when you think about kidnapping me, because the Lord has also said, do not touch the Lord's anointed. You know, I'm an Israelite and you did this to me, so leprosy on you, pap. And yet, for this young lady, you don't even hear her gloating over her enemy's misfortune. There is not even a hint of bitterness in her voice. Just all you hear is just faith, compassion, and loving concern. She didn't even give an excuse. And I believe if there was a person who would have been excused for not sharing the good news that she had, if there was a person who would have been excused for not saying, I know a prophet in Israel who can help you, it was this young lady over here. I mean, she could have given the following excuse. I am young, which means she has no influence. For do you know who Naaman is? This is a commander of the king. Who am I, a young pastor, to just come and say, I see your issue, I know your issue, and I know even how to sort it out. She's a person of no reputation. She could have given that as an excuse. Or number two, she could have said, you know, actually I've been held captive here. I'm not here willingly. Because you guys know that she did not apply for this position. It's not like she got shortlisted. She sent her CV and got shortlisted for this job. Okay? She's here against her will. So she has reason to hate. She has reason to hate. Or three, she could have given this excuse. Guys, this is my boss. And you just don't jifanya kimbele in front of your boss. Okay, for those of you who don't know what kimbele is, to jifanya kimbele. How can I translate that? to jifanya kimbele, now I get it, yeah. Is to become a know-it-all. You know, where you step up before your boss and say, nanono kona kashida kadogo. You know, you don't do stuff like that with your boss. You know, you don't. She could have given this as an excuse. Or fourthly, there's the issue of patriotism here. All right? I mean, Naaman is the commander of the army of the enemy. So patriotism is, I think it serves Israel's best interest if this guy actually dies, you see. Because I think we've been told earlier, Israel got its victories because of Naaman, right? So just a little bit of patriotism here. You don't want to help your enemy. If you know what I mean. You know, so just let this whole issue slide. Let Naaman die because he serves in Israel's best interest. He could have given that as an excuse, and it looks valid to me. And yet, she does not make any excuses. I think the list could have been endless. Not so long ago, we read the story of Moses. You remember that? And he kept on giving excuse after excuse. Oh, I do not know how to speak very well. What are these people going to say to me? And so on and so forth. But this young girl here, even though it looks like she had valid reasons for not doing this, she makes no excuses. All we hear her saying, this is the only words recorded from her, if only my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria. If only you will go and see this prophet in Israel. And I can't help but think, if this young lady, even though she looks like she had reason not to, was willing to share her faith in a certain prophet in Samaria who could help Naaman, how much more should we share about our faith in the greatest prophet that ever lived, if I may call him that, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to solve the problem of sin once and for all. If sin is an even grave infection than leprosy, then how urgent should we share to those around us who are afflicted by sin? How urgently should we share this message? There is a prophet in Israel. There is one who I know who's able to help you with this whole issue. And so we will pause there for a moment because of time and just head to the application for this message. And I want to, first of all, address believers. And this is what I want to say. Guys, share your faith in Christ. Share your faith. Share your faith. This little girl, that's all she had to do. There is a prophet who's able to heal you. That's all she needed to say. And I don't think she understood the mechanics of how this prophet was going to go about that. And she didn't need to know it all. And I want to say this, you don't have to know the whole theology for you to begin to share. Just share the little that you know. You don't have to be an expert in Christology to share about the hope that you have in Christ. Did you know that? In fact, it's John Stott who says, to evangelize, it doesn't mean to win converts, but simply to announce the good news irrespective of the results. Our work is just simple, to share. Whether they act on it or not is a whole different thing. This lady didn't compel Naaman to respond to this message, okay? She didn't take him and, you know, by force get him to believe her. She just needed to say, there is a prophet who is able to help you. So let's not be selfish. Let's just share. And then the second thing, God can use anyone. It is the little girl who remains unnamed, of no reputation, that will get to lead the mighty Naaman, into this faith. And some of you perhaps have heard of C.H. Spurgeon, okay? He became one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. In fact, people call him the Prince of Preachers. He has written more on the Christian work than any author, both dead or alive, it is believed. He ministered to probably around 10 million people with the gospel of Christ Jesus, a great man of faith. But do you know who led him to this faith? Do you know who had an impact and an influence in him? It was a miscellaneous, unknown old lady called Mary King. Mary King was a cook, and C.H. Spurgeon signed up for her classes. And this woman of God could not contain her faith in Jesus Christ, and so she kept on sharing and sharing about her belief, sharing about her faith. And it had such an influence on C.H. Spurgeon that he became the kind of individual that he became, a man who later will touch millions and millions of lives with the gospel of Christ. So God can use anyone, and God can use you too. So do not disqualify yourself. Do not say, I don't know enough of this faith to share. Sometimes, like I said, you can even just share your story. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And then thirdly, to believers, share with everyone. Sometimes we avoid to engage with other people because we believe they are too far away from the faith. Okay, people of other worldviews, it could be maybe they are Muslim or Hindu. We imagine, no, this person is very far away from the faith, so I will not even begin. Now, I want you to know that Naaman was not even an Israelite. He used to worship their own pagan gods. And yet this young lady could have thought, you know what, these people, they are pagans. What do they know about our faith? What do they know about our prophets? Where can I even begin this conversation? She didn't care about such things. She was willing to share with everyone. And that goes to us. Share with everyone. It doesn't matter from what worldviews they might be. Share even with God haters about your faith in Jesus Christ. Point them to Jesus. Sometimes we don't know the impact this can have because we don't even try it. Share with everyone. John Stott says this. He says that we must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. And now I want to turn to unbelievers. And I want to end with this question. Do you know that you are in danger of death? Do you know that you are in danger of death? Something that I did not share earlier is that someone made this phrase: the level of the insult rises with the dignity of the person that has been insulted. You guys have heard that? So sin for us is such a small thing, but to God is not such a small thing. For us, we can wonder, what is a big deal about sin? Why would I have to die because of the whole issue of sin? Why does God take it very seriously? Why does it say the wages of sin is death? The level of the insult rises with the dignity of the person being insulted, because God is the one who has given us the laws. God is the one who has said, be holy because I am holy. And if you want to know that this is true, the level of the insult rises with the dignity of the person insulted. Take, for example, a word like kwenda uko. All right? Kwenda uko, for those of you who don't know what, don't know Swahili, kwenda uko is, somebody help me here. Get out of here. Thank you very much. I mean, that word kwenda uko, we used to use it a lot growing up, right? You will probably tell it to your child, to your sibling or to your friend. He tells you something like, you kwenda uko. You know, hey, so-and-so, come here, kwenda uko. You know, you will just fling that word around, okay? You could use it with your sibling or with your friend. Now, can you imagine if your mother called you, all right, so-and-so, come here, and you will stand up before your mother and be like, kwenda uko, mom. Who in their right minds would do a thing like that? Now, I know some of you are keeping quiet because you attempted to do such things. Maybe you even did such things. I mean, you couldn't use a word like that. And it's the same word. You can use it with your friends. Imagine going to school. The teacher has told you, okay, so-and-so, come in the blackboard and do a certain work. And then you say, teacher, kwenda uko. You probably be suspended or expelled, right? I mean, what's up? It's the same word that you use with your friends and there's no problem. Unless it is true that the level of the insult rises with the dignity of the person who's been insulted. Even a word like, wewe ni mjinga sana. You know, you can use it with your sibling. You can use it with your friend. Wewe ni mjinga sana means you're very foolish. But you cannot say the same things about your mother or the teacher. Can you imagine if the president of this country was to show up in your company, whatever, and he was to sit together with the president, you're in the boardroom, you know, and the president tells you something, he wants to give you a responsibility, and then you say, I can't even bring myself. You know, because the level of the insult rises with the dignity of the person being insulted. Now, you see, for us, sin is a small thing because we're doing it against each other. All right, I'm angry here. I use bad words there. I'm corrupt this way. I do this bad thing over there. But before God, it's not a small thing because all sin is first against God. And God says, for you to look at my commands and what I have said, and then you do the complete opposite, you deserve death. Just like if you were to insult a president, a word that you can use with your friend, you will go into prison. So the level of the insult rises with the dignity of the person being insulted. And I want to say this, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are in danger of death, of eternal damnation, of being punished for your sins. Because what God has done is he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, because God is a God of justice, so he must punish sin, but God is a God of love. And so he has done something about our sin in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment on our behalf. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was forsaken so that you will not have to be forsaken. Now you can choose to look at the gift of God of eternal life, this cure that he's giving for this leprosy that you have. You can choose to look at that and say, no, I'll take the punishment for myself. And that is eternal damnation and death. Or you can choose to accept salvation that is being offered to you today for free. For the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we have a lot to think about, friends. And I know that the things I'm calling you to do may sound great and outrageous. That we are saying here on this platform that you are to rise from your seats and go out there and share the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems like a hard thing, but we will not be apologetic in asking you to do great things from God. We are demanding and asking that you do great things for God because he has done so much for you. It is David Livingstone, the missionary of old, who said, why is it that if you're given a commission by a king, you consider it an honor? If the king was to give you a commission, you would consider it as an honor. But when you are given a commission by the King of Kings, you consider it as a sacrifice. We need to change our perspective. There is a great commission for us. And this is what Christ said before he left when he was giving us this commission. He said, go tell, go to the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything that I've commanded you. And he gave this promise, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Let's trust him. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we want to thank you so much for this word that you have given us. We want to thank you for what you have done for us. For you saw us as needy. You saw the leprosy that was hiding deep within us that is called sin. You saw that we were in danger of death and you did something about it. You sent your own son, who we are calling the greatest prophet that ever lived, the Son of God, the Messiah. You sent him so that he could do something about the sin problem that we had. And he died on the cross and he was punished on our behalf so that today we can know life and life eternal. We want to thank you for the example we have seen in a little girl who, though she was of no reputation, still dared against all odds to share her faith in the prophet of her times. And her sharing was to no avail. It led to one of the greatest stories ever told. So I pray that you will give us the courage that this little girl had. We pray that you will help us to respond to this message of the gospel. And we pray that you will glorify yourself throughout the world when we become faithful. So come, Lord, and have your way in us. Come, Lord, and glorify yourself in this place. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Allow me to call Kathy to come and close for us the service.